Since December 3rd, 2002, the Ojibwe community living at Grassy Narrows in northwestern Ontario have successfully maintained a road blockade to fight against the clear-cutting of their traditional land use area by Abitibi Consolidated, a Montreal-based corporation. The blockades at Grassy Narrows have been a source of inspiration for many Indigenous communities throughout the world as an example of Indigenous resistance. Grassy Narrows Chief William Fobister explained the issues behind the blockades, quote, "The issue is the further erosion of our culture by eradication of the last remaining areas of old-growth forest in our traditional land use area. This area lies out of our reserve. It has sustained us and our culture for thousands of years. The liquidation of the forest will restrict our culture and traditional activities and even eliminate many aspects of it, berry picking, hunting, trapping, and medicine gathering." End quote. On October 16th, protests and actions in solidarity with the ongoing Grassy Narrows blockade were held across Canada from Thunder Bay and Kenora, Ontario, to Victoria, British Columbia, and here in Montreal. The National Day of Action was focused on building resistance to the ongoing environmentally devastating clear-cutting of Abitibi Consolidated, which violates the Grassy Narrows community's Aboriginal and treaty rights. This action was also organized to highlight that the federal government, the province of Ontario, and Abitibi have each tried to ignore their responsibility in the situation at Grassy Narrows by claiming that it falls under the jurisdiction of one of the other two, while all three entities, the federal government, provincial government, and Abitibi Consolidated, are all directly responsible for the devastating situation at Grassy Narrows. As part of the National Day of Action in support of the Grassy Narrows blockade, in Kenora, Ontario, the Friends of Grassy Narrows, a Winnipeg-based group, joined with the youth and elders from the Grassy Narrows community in street demonstrations in support of the blockade throughout Kenora, while also paying a visit to the constituency office of Robert Nault, Minister of Indian and Northern Affairs, to voice their support for the blockade and against the practices of Abitibi Consolidated. I spoke with Roberta Kizik, an Indigenous activist from Grassy Narrows, and Dave Brophy, who works with Friends of Grassy Narrows in Winnipeg, about the National Day of Action.
At 10 o'clock in the morning, the Friends of Grassy Narrows and other supporters, as well as busload of youths from the school and some community members like us, went to the harbor front of the city of Kenora and started a rally there, and then marched down to Bob Nault's office. And then from there, well, some people tried to get in and the doors were closed. I guess they weren't allowed in. And then kids continued to march down to the Abitibi paper mill and did a rally there. And then the kids and the other supporters again continued their march to like a residential area. Like they passed by the biggest high school in Kenora and they're carrying signs, and there's small speeches, and the Grand Chief of Treaty 3, Leon Jourdain, was there. I think a lot of people noticed it.
Roberta, can you give a little bit of background as to the blockade at Grassy Narrows? Why has your community taken action against the practices of Abitibi, and how is the clear-cutting affecting your people?
We started this fight quite a few years ago, first by following the processes available under what the provincial government has, like Minister of Environment, of Natural Resources. Like, we tried to follow the processes there available to everyone. We found out that, you know, those didn't work for us. We wrote letters trying to stop the cutting by writing letters. That was several years ago. Then we proceeded to do like protests in town and speaking engagements, and then eventually, you know, those all didn't work for us. The reason why we're trying to stop it is, like, we estimate that 50% of our traditional land use area has already been cut, and maybe even more now as we speak, because the cutting continues. And We as Anishinaabe Native people, our culture is based on the land. And if the land is gone, then our culture is also gone. So I guess that's referred to as genocide. That's what's occurring here. And so after, you know, we tried all those other ways of trying to stop clear-cutting, we finally had to resort to this blockade. After almost 1 year, it's still there, and it's going to continue, and we're going to continue doing anything possible, like peaceful, of course, and nonviolent. We're going to continue to fight, do whatever we can.
Now, since the blockade has been struck, there has been a lot of support around the country, but also around the world, for the fight at Grassy Narrows against the clear-cutting. Now, Dave, you work with a group in Winnipeg called Friends of Grassy Narrows. Your organization helped coordinate actions yesterday in support of the blockades. So can you maybe speak about your support for the blockades, your organization, why you're standing with the community of Grassy Narrows, and also give a little bit of an idea as to what happened yesterday on October 16th around the country?
Well, Friends of Grassy Narrows here in Winnipeg started up pretty much last spring after a few of us had gone up and met some people at the blockade. And, you know, we're really inspired by the community coming together there and standing up to Abitibi and the two levels of government that are complicit in what's happening out there. Because we're located in Winnipeg, we're sort of the closest good-sized city to Grassy Narrows, so we're in a position to get out there, have some direct contact with blockaders. We've been able to do some fundraising in the city, and obviously it's the people who were out there all winter needed support financially as well as in other ways, just because it's, you know, they set up a camp off the reserve and had to put up a bunch of shelters there and keep themselves warm, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one way we've been supporting. Also just trying to raise awareness because the blockade is, you know, a very strong initiative and has been very effective in putting a serious dent in what's happening out there in the activities of Abitibi. But when a community like Grassy takes a strong stand like this, it doesn't often get a lot of publicity. And so we're trying to help on that end as well, just so that people beyond the community in Winnipeg and elsewhere know what's happening. And so that has happened, obviously, not only as a result of our work, but as a result of all kinds of people within the community and without spreading the word. And so yesterday, along with the action in Kenora, there was a group out in Victoria, BC, the Aboriginal Students Association and the Women's Center at UVic put on an event there in solidarity. Thunder Bay also visited the regional office of the Ministry of Natural Resources to send a message that they're also opposed to what's happening, that they stand behind Grassy in their stance against clear-cutting on their traditional lands. We certainly were aware as a group in Kenora that all those actions were happening, and I think that those events really added strength to our own in Kenora.
Now, Roberta, Dave mentioned that your community has taken a very strong stand against the practices of Abitibi at Grassy Narrows. You've built a road blockade against the clear cutting. You've been there for almost a year now. You mentioned before that the practices of Abitibi are attacking the base of your community, which is your land. Can you maybe expand on how the practices of Abitibi are genocidal against your community?
Well, culture is land-based. We still hunt. We still pick berries. We do rice picking. We get our medicines from there. We go pray over there. And the destruction of the land, they say they're planting trees, but that's not the same thing as a forest. It becomes like a plantation. It just transforms and disrupts the forest as the way it's supposed to be. So it's all that, like, the clear cutting is like destroying, you know, all those things I've described, as well as we have treaty rights. We have a treaty which was signed 1873, and we're signatories to that treaty, and those rights are being affected and by the destruction of the land. The right to hunt, to fish, we can't hunt in clear cut. It affects the habitat of the animals that we hunt and trap. I mean, they're going to say, you know, that it doesn't, you know, they always say that, but you know, we feel it does, you know, and it's all based on first-hand experience.
What do you expect to be happening in the coming months? I mean, the blockade has been set for almost a year now. B2B Consolidated, whose head offices are here in Montreal, continue to clear-cut the lands, continue to use your territory despite your vocal opposition. What do you expect to happen in the coming months in terms of the blockade and opposing what they're doing? And what do you think it will take to make them stop?
Well, the blockade is going to continue. Actually, we're preparing the buildings, you know, for the purpose of staying there at the blockade. And also, we're going to continue the roving blockades. And as a matter of fact, after I finish this radio conversation, I'm going to be heading out into our traditional land use area to check on, see if there's, you know, any cutting happening. And we should find any, you know, activity, you know. We're going to be continuing with the roving blockade. And as well, we're getting more and more requests for different members of the blockade to go do speaking engagements as far away as, you know, Florida and to the state. Like, we're finding that there's more and more requests. So what that means is the word is spreading. We may not have the benefit of getting media publicity, but we're finding other ways of, you know, getting the information out about what's happening here. I'm not even sure what it's going to take to stop the clear-cutting. All I'm sure of is that we're going to stay here until the clear-cutting stops.
Now, Dave, your organization, Friends of Grassy Narrows, has been working to support the efforts of the community to have Abitibi Consolidated stop their clear-cutting practices in the traditional land use area of the people of Grassy Narrows. Why do you feel it's important for people outside of the community of Grassy Narrows in different cities in Winnipeg or here in Montreal to support this movement of Indigenous people?
Well, there are different reasons. Big part of this is the treaty between the Anishinaabe Nation, and while it was made with the Queen, but, you know, it's now sort of stands between Canada and the Anishinaabe. You know, there are different treaties. Grassy is part of Treaty Number 3. Their treaty rights are clearly being violated, you know, so I think it's, you know, basically I feel my responsibility to speak out, being aware that my treaty rights as a settler have certainly been respected and then some in terms of the electricity and the cheap paper products, et cetera, that I have access to. The costs of that have often been paid by communities like Grassy Narrows. Another one, I guess, is just that, like I said before, the community is taking a very strong stand. It's a very effective grassroots resistance movement that's taken place there. And I think it's an initiative that a lot of communities can learn from in terms of standing up to, you know, corporations who are just going into communities, taking all they can, and then leaving nothing behind, and also standing up to the governments that are complicit in that, that are totally unresponsive to the concerns of communities, and basically facilitate the activities of corporations that are just sucking everything out of a given community and then moving on. So that's another big reason. I think the issue of injustice towards First Nations in this country is probably the biggest cover-up that exists here, you know. And I think that it's important to look at social justice issues beyond our borders as the country of Canada, but I think it's almost easier to do that, to focus our eyes, for example, on the United States, who obviously has a tremendous and oppressive influence on all kinds of people and all kinds of places around the world. But, you know, we have much less capacity to have much influence on the government of the United States, whereas the government of Canada is, I think, often quite happy that a lot of Canadians like to think of themselves as the peacemakers, et cetera, and often, you know, spend a lot of their time talking about political issues, focusing on the United States. So I think that's something that's become apparent to me, especially apparent to me quite recently, you know, and I guess that's another big reason why I feel that it's really important for groups to focus on solidarity work with First Nations in Canada.
Now, Roberta, one more question before we finish the interview. Often we hear the phrase stolen land in respects to the struggles of Indigenous people here in Canada or Turtle Island. Can you maybe expand on this idea? How do you feel that this reality relates to the blockade at Grassy Narrows?
In the treaties, some people have said that the treaties say that we surrendered the land. Therefore, you know, I guess they have the right to be doing what they're doing, like extracting of resources, and or people say that the word, you know, surrender was not what was like agreed to by our ancestors.
Thank you very much to both of you for joining us today.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Is there anything else that either of you would like to add?
Well, I'd like to add that we're really grateful to all the support we're getting from all the groups, like what was organized yesterday. It really empowered and revitalized and re-energized our youth and our people involved at the blockade. It gives us strength, you know, when we get that kind of support, when we see the support growing. It makes us want to keep on going, too. It, you know, it helps us keep on going because it's a big fight, and I think it's going to be a long fight, and we have to endure and keep on going because in the end, it's for actually for everybody, too, like this planet. We're trying to make it a better place, too, for everyone else.
You've been listening to an interview with Roberta Kizik, an Indigenous activist from Grassy Narrows, and Dave Brophy, who works with Friends of Grassy Narrows, a Winnipeg-based group, about the National Day of Action, which took place on October 16th in support of the Grassy Narrows blockade. In Montreal, a delegation of activists from the No One Is Illegal campaign and the Indigenous Peoples Solidarity Movement to the head office of Abitibi Consolidated in Montreal. I spoke with Antoine Liebert from the Indigenous Peoples Solidarity Movement and Carolyn Perez from the No One Is Illegal campaign about the delegation to Abitibi's head offices in Montreal.
The delegation today was done because Abitibi is continuing with its clear cutting of Grassy Narrows, and we're not seeing any progress. So it was the first step in letting them know that people are watching.
Today was National Day of Action throughout Canada. Actions were held in solidarity of Grassy Narrows and their demands for a complete stop to the clear cutting. Actions were held in Kenora, Winnipeg, Victoria, and here in Montreal. This delegation went to the offices to present the letter of demands of the community of Grassy Narrows.
Why do you feel it's important to support the blockades of the Grassy Narrows community?
Well, I think the obvious reason is that this is their land, after all, and this is a community that's suffered during many, many years, and this is yet another step towards genocide that's been going on in this community. I mean, it's been going on everywhere in Canada, but very much so in this community. They're losing their hunting grounds. They're losing their way of life. I mean, this is an attack on their way of life. It's a pretty direct attack.
Yeah, this is a direct attack on Aboriginal rights and Aboriginal culture here in Canada. And it's important to support the Grassy Narrows blockade, I believe, because they've set up a strong stance and a strong resistance to this ongoing colonialism here in Canada. And it's important for us here in Montreal also to express solidarity, especially because the offices of Abitibi Consolidated are here in Montreal, but also so that they know that they're not alone and that other people are here and following what's going on and ready to take measures and take action to support their demands.
Now, the Grassy Narrows blockades have been a source of inspiration for the fight for Indigenous self-determination, both for Indigenous people in Canada, but also for people who support the struggles of Indigenous self-determination. Can you talk about why you're supporting the blockades and your perspectives on the struggle for Indigenous self-determination as it relates to the Grassy Narrows blockade, but more broadly also?
I think it's important because it's ongoing in the fight against colonialism. I think it's important also insofar as, like, you know, stopping corporations from invading more cultures, you know, which they already do. So it's very important to fight them because, I mean, what we're seeing in Grassy Narrows is happening in Grassy Narrows, but, I mean, if it's allowed to go on and to fester there, it's going to, I mean, it's already spreading to other communities and to other parts of the country. So I think a lot of the times people get isolated in the communities, but we're all affected by it ultimately.
How do you mean we're all affected by what's going on at Grassy Narrows?
We're all affected by what's going on at Grassy Narrows because, I mean, we all, you know, we're on native land, ultimately. So I think it's important for us to stand with the people of this land. And also because it's just an encroachment on cultures in general. Like, if you don't stand up when something like this happens to a community, and people don't stand up, finally when it affects you direct, there's nobody left to stand up with you, right? So,
Antoine, you're part of the Indigenous People Solidarity Movement. Can you offer some perspectives on the Grassy Narrows blockade and the struggle to support movements of Indigenous self-determination, specifically the Grassy blockade, but also more broadly from the perspective of IPSM, the Indigenous People Solidarity Movement?
Well, the Indigenous People Solidarity Movement came together last year recognizing this ongoing colonialism, the ongoing imperialism against Indigenous peoples here in what is now Canada, but also throughout Turtle Island. And so what we sought to do is raise awareness about these ongoing issues and express our solidarity and support these in any way possible. And it's very important to see that this is something that's going on not only in Grassy Narrows, but throughout Canada, that the federal government has completely refused to recognize Indigenous self-determination rights of land use on traditional lands and traditional forms of living, and also to fulfill its prior engagements in treaties such as the Treaty Number 3, which is particular to Grassy Narrows. And so supporting this blockade in Grassy Narrows, as we've mentioned, is a crucial focal point of resistance, of getting the word out and raising awareness throughout Canada about these ongoing issues. And so in that way, we try to support it here in our local context, but also branch out as much as possible and create a solidarity network. We need to make the links between the struggles that have been going on throughout the world of Indigenous peoples, and it's something that's not at all limited to Grassy, neither to what is now Canada, but goes on throughout Turtle Island, as we mentioned, throughout Mexico, Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador. And so this is but one little focal point for the resistance, but it's very important here in ABTP, for example, through the delegation today, to go and to impose our presence on them and make sure they know that there are people here that are aware of this, that are following the issues, and that are ready to take action and support.
You have been listening to an interview with Antoine Liebert from the Indigenous People Solidarity Movement and Carolyn Perez from the No One Is Illegal campaign about a delegation organized in Montreal as part of a National Day of Action, which took place on October 16th in support of the Indigenous blockades at Grassy Narrows. The youth of Grassy Narrows have been a driving force behind the blockade, heavily involved with the planning and maintenance of the blockade site, which has seen supporters travel from around the world to come and express their support and solidarity. Listen to two youth of the Grassy Narrows community explain their perspectives on the blockade and speak about their direct involvement in the ongoing struggle at Grassy Narrows. The youth also speak about how the blockade at Grassy relates to the broader struggle for Indigenous self-determination throughout the world.
My name is Warna Shupanas, and I'm from Grassy Narrows, Ontario. My clan is the Thunderbird, and I'm here for personal reasons, too, for my people, and because of my relatives, like my elders and my grandfather. Their traps are being destroyed on the land, our traditional land use area, and as well as their hunting opportunities is disappearing because of clear cuts, and so I'm here to speak.
My name's Rocky Strong, and I too am from Grassy Narrows. I've lived there all my life, and growing up as a kid there, that's all there was to me is our traditional land use area.
My name is Chantel Swain. I'm from the Lynx Clan, and I'd like to talk about today is about how Abitibi Consolidated is clear-cutting our traditional land use area. We as Ojibwe people, we live off the land, and they're taking that away from us, and we as youth, we're making our stand. They've just been doing so much to our people, and it's not funny no more. So then we're going to take our stand as youth, and we're going to walk with our elders and our adults.
I guess we can move on to maybe answer some basic questions about where is Grassy Narrows, and why is a BTB there, and you know, just the basic like setting of background as to what's been happening there.
Grassy Narrows is about almost near the Manitoba border. It is northeast. It is about 80 kilometers northeast from Kenora. And what our community's doing is we're protecting our land from the devastation of clear cuts that Abbott-to-be Consolidated is doing. They're simply doing more than that. They are also spraying chemicals like pesticides and herbicides that contaminate the animals and destroys our medicine plants, and they're contaminating our waters. Basically, all the animals are being poisoned by these chemicals because of the food chains that each animal like feed on each other. It's being passed on, and so in essence, it's being when an animal's poisoned by it, they roam around in the remaining forest. And so when they're hunted down by other predators, whatever they're preyed upon, they are infected also when they're eaten. And when they spray the chemicals on the land, it's so when it rains, it soaks into the ground or washes down into our lakes, and it poisons the fish and even as well like moose and deer that drink off the water and eat the weeds. And our people still eat the fish around the river systems. And it's when the chemicals go into our water system, it is being contaminated more because there is traces of mercury inside our waters. And our people just, they continue eating the fish and the animals that are on our land because it is our way of life. It is our way of surviving too when we don't even get that much like money, because all we have for like support of money is like when the welfare system. Not many of our people on our community have jobs. Almost 75% or 80% of the community's jobless, and so we depend on our land, and we depend on our natural resources to keep us alive in our livelihood. And what Abbott-to-be simply is trying to do is cut almost all the trees on our traditional land use area. That's Whiskey Jack Forest. And they are set a limit to how much trees they're cutting, but they are cutting more over their limit. Like they simply cut almost like a mile wide of a clear cut, and they simply just spray all those chemicals throughout the whole clear cut area.
I think it's really important for the youth to, you know, to stand up, you know, say something, say what they feel from their heart, man. Before the blockade that happened on Grassy, you know, maybe about 4 years ago, I was like, you know, frustrated, you know, not knowing, like, I couldn't speak my language, you know, and I'd be listening to my elders and they'd be talking to me with the native tongue, and you know, I couldn't understand, and you know, I grew frustrated and angry about that. And just recently, once we got together, the youth, and we finally got to some word was being spread around that what was happening with Abbott-to-be, you know, coming in and taking our trees, and the animals, you know, they were disappearing, they weren't coming around our trap lines. Well, we got together, we mobilized, and we saw the first truck coming in, and we all just got onto the road, and we started yelling at that truck to go back, to turn around. One of our adults, one of our warriors, went up and told them that we as youth weren't going to let them through. And we were like literally laying right on the road. And it was cool to see, man. And as soon as they turned around and they went back, and they told their other truckers that were coming in to go turn around too. And at that moment, I felt a sense of identity, like I felt right, man. I felt proud, man. From I felt empowered and proud. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I'm an indigenous person. I'm Ojibwe. And what they're doing, and they're raping Mother Earth, man.
You've been listening to a report about the ongoing blockades at Grassy Narrows. Since December 3rd, 2002, the Ojibwe community living at Grassy Narrows in northwestern Ontario have successfully maintained a road blockade to fight against the clear-cutting of their traditional land use area by Abitibi Consolidated, a Montreal-based corporation. The blockades at Grassy Narrows have been a source of inspiration for many Indigenous communities throughout the world as an example of Indigenous resistance. On October 16th, protests and actions in solidarity with the ongoing Grassy Narrows blockade were held across Canada, from Thunder Bay in Kenora, Ontario, to Victoria, British Columbia, and in Montreal. The National Day of Action was focused on building resistance to the ongoing, environmentally devastating clear-cutting of Abitibi Consolidated, which violates the Grassy Narrows community's Aboriginal and treaty rights. To get more information about the blockades at Grassy Narrows, visit www.friendsofgrassynarrows.com or www.thunderbay.indymedia.org. This report has been produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal and Native Solidarity News by Stefan Christophe.